The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
Fast am I, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio, your chance to have your say about whatever's on your mind. Our daily get-together, interaction, debate, exchange of ideas, a mixture of what you're thinking about, what we're thinking about, the news, the response, the reaction to each other. You can call 66 13 68, text 166 177, which is also the number for the WhatsApp service, email studio@manxradio.com. You're welcome on any subject on the open line today. I just wonder how you're reacting to the news that Flybe is going to be resurrected and make an appearance on the Belfast and London Heathrow routes. It's been talked about many times, this open skies policy, and I just wonder what your thoughts are, because at the moment that route is run by Loganair to Heathrow, and there's an operator on the Belfast route as well. Now, somebody else is coming in. It's been said in the past that this leads to cannibalization of passenger numbers, and obviously Flybe, and in its previous incarnation, was very aggressive regarding pricing. So are Flybe joining that London Heathrow route to make a success of it, or to get rid of Loganair? Loganair stood by the Isle of Man throughout the pandemic. Loganair has a partnership with the Isle of Man government and jumped in when nobody else was jumping in. So I wonder what we're going to get. I wonder what will happen. Now, Flybe has rejoined us. They haven't brought any new routes. We have a route to London Heathrow already. We have a route to Belfast already. No new routes. So you wonder what will happen. This is open skies, and we'll see where it leads us. It may be good for the for you and me, the consumer, it may be good. It may not be so good for Loganair. So whether our aspirations and whether our well-being aligns with Loganair's, we'll see in the future. But we watch with interest. Now, Flybe is joining the Isle of Man, serving London Heathrow and Belfast. I wonder what you think about the teachers and whether or not they are going to go on strike or they aren't going to go on strike. This seems to be, it predates COVID. It's that old. The animosity, the disagreement between government, between the Department for Education, Sport and Culture and the various teaching unions. The Minister for Education, Julie Edge, says she's extremely disappointed by the disruption caused by the escalation of industrial action by the NES-UWT. The union announced it will be escalating action just a week into the start of the new academic year, which means, amongst other things, they're not going to cover break times. Today, students from Ballacameen High School and Bemahaig had to stay at home. A week into the brand new academic year, Julie Edge, MHK, says the disruption's going to impact younger years at schools, and she says it needs to be addressed.
Obviously, there's a full list of issues of concern with the union. An awful lot of them are operational that can be discussed outside of pay. Pay and recruitment and retention is what is part of that. I feel we have been generous as a government to implement the London Fringe, so that's lifted salaries up to London Fringe, and we've also added a 1% Isle of Man waiting on that. So I think the island did recognise our highly skilled professionals and workforce. So the dispute's been going a lot longer than the inflation increases. They've hit everybody, then it's not just education. Pay, obviously, since May, we've known of the inflationary increases, and government will be addressing them across the board. Obviously, we're helping support in other areas. So that, to me, is not a sound argument for the current dispute.
What reassurances can you give the parents?
The head teachers have worked up a programme to try and limit the amount of time that students have out of school. And clearly, from year 11 and above, they are of an age that it is easier for the schools to manage. But our year groups 7 to 10 are going to have the odd day each week. But what I will say to all of our teachers, the department is doing everything it can to try and resolve this. With regards to pay, we've addressed that, and I think paying the London Fringe was the right thing to do, and obviously offering that Isle of Man waiting.
There's the Minister for Education from the Department of Education, Sport and Culture, Julie Edge, talking about that situation. I just wonder what your thoughts are. If you have someone at school, if you're responsible for a school student, or maybe you're at school, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're involved in school. If you want to have your say, by all means, get in touch. And David's with us, first of all. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Andy, I can't believe my granddaughter came home yesterday with a letter, and I read it regarding the school there at Bemhaig. And I just wondered, listening to the minister there now, because she mentions about wages, and it looks as though the wages weren't enough for them, but they're paying them more than the UK. And then there's a dispute whether that's correct or not, which needs to be answered. The other issue I've got is, what other issues are there that should have been addressed? And why weren't they addressed over the summer months when the school was off? That's what gets me more. And what are they going to do with people who are single parents, or the children who get a school meal, but they're not at school at their day? Who's going to feed them? Is it the granddads, grandmas and stuff like that, parents, aunts and uncles? It's an embarrassing situation as far as I'm concerned in the island, when we've had a recess of our government, but life goes on. Why wasn't it addressed? Why don't we get to some conciliation?
We never seem to get to the bottom of this. And, of course, at the NES, UWT is one of the... There are many more unions, about half a dozen
accepted.
Of them. And you just wonder what the nub of the problem is. Is it terms? Is it conditions? Is it accommodation? Is it recruitment from across? Retention? What on earth is at the bottom of all this?
So what is the other list? The minister mentioned the list. It wasn't only wages, there was a list to be addressed as well. Why haven't we done that? The chief executive's been sitting there with his team all summer. I bet they haven't been just twiddling their thumbs, worrying about different things. But why hasn't it been addressed? And why can't, I hate to say it now, the chief minister get the heads together and the council ministers and say, which way are we going to plan it? And the other realism we've got to have on the Isle of Man is how much money we've got. We'd love to give everybody, wouldn't we, 10% rise to match this or the other. We just haven't got the funds, unless anybody tells me that, is the funds available to pay everybody. Because once they went down the road of giving this, which she calls it a London Fringe, it's a premium payment because you're living in a big city. It used to be years ago when I was in the union. But she's done that. And then what's happened now is, everybody will want to go in the back of that and say, well, they've got it over there. Why can't we have it here and there and there? And that's why I think central government itself needs to get together. That's why we have a council of ministers.
And you just wonder, unions exist to act in the interest of their members. Unions, and also, you know, they want to attract members. There's member poaching that goes on here, there and everywhere. But, you know, union leaders and negotiators are trained in negotiation by their unions. They do this for a living. So you just wonder whether the government is kind of walking into this with their eyes wide open, and whether they understand that these unions, they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, and one of the issues I'm led to believe from a third source is that the 20 minutes or break times, why can't we have an initiative where there must be people who maybe retired recently from schools or whatever, whether they'd want to do it or not, is to mind or be carers for that 20-minute period. To cover 20 minutes for, say, a couple of hundred kids, it's better having them at school than sitting at home. Are they going to be educated? No, they're not. They're going to be sitting watching telly. They're going to have the iPads on, playing games with each other all across the Isle of Man. And there's going to be a void in that generation. My grandchild hopefully will not be one of them. And we'll have to pick up the slack eventually.
I mean, did your grandchild have any notion of what was going on?
No. I don't think so. And at that age too, is it really down to them? Our protectors are my mother and father, and the other one comes down to me then, granddad. And what can you do to help us out? This is going on in the Isle of Man. It's a shameful act,
okay.
I think.
All right, we appreciate that, David. Thanks for calling. All right, 17 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. A note in from Julie, who said, look, why, when I was at high school in the 70s, did kids walk unsupervised between Park Road and St Ninian's schools for lessons and down to Tramode for games? Walked unsupervised. In the 1970s, this was perfectly normal, and it was deemed safe to walk from Park Road to St Ninian's and back and down to Tramode for games. Now, it's possibly unsafe to leave kids for a 15-minute break. Plus, KWC and Buchan schools have no problem with teacher absence causing year groups to miss days at school. Many thanks, says Julie. Your thoughts on the matter are very welcome, but this teaching dispute, it seems to be a running sore. And obviously, previous ministers for education have looked at this when it was education and children. Do you remember? Was it Alex Allenson, of course, was in charge of education for a little under, about a year he was before Julie Edge. And Graham Cregeen was there for 4 years before that. And I think the problems started really at the end of Mr. Cregeen's tenure at the department. That's when it presumably there were negotiations that went on before that. But I just wonder what your thoughts are. Is it entirely, I mean, they are threatening industrial, they've been threatening industrial action for years. Do you remember? Action short of strike, action short of industrial action. So perhaps the time is to perhaps have industrial action and just see what happens. I'm not saying there should, but we just seem to be in this endless limbo of jeopardy between the department and the unions. Teachers getting paid not to teach my son, says Mick. It's not a bad life. Isle of Man should introduce legislation to have a single union per employer. I think it's crazy having this many unions. And presumably some members, some teachers, are they members of different unions perhaps? I think the lady acting for the teachers has a very unfortunate tone of voice. She needs to speak nicely when addressing the public on the radio. Well, she'd probably say you don't have to be nice. She's representing her members. It's her job. And remember, that is her job. That's her purpose in life, is to represent the members of her union and get them the best possible deal, the best possible terms and conditions. Because of an issue of school supervision, so children are now left wandering the streets unsupervised. Is that right? Teachers, says Pammy, are a disgrace. These are Pammy's words, by the way. People are trying to work in the real world. Here's some things teachers obviously know little about. 7 weeks paid holiday, extra working hours. They should try doing my job. I work hard, backbreaking work, to pay taxes for teachers' provision. Nobody cares about my wages. The unions just stir the pot to justify their subscription. I think it's disgusting, says Pammy. I'll just reiterate, Pammy, that's the union's job. That is the union's. They are there to represent the interests of their members. They're not there to run the Department for Education, Sport and Culture. They're not there to run the schools. Members of their unions may do that, but it's not the union's raison d'etre, if you like, to actually do that. Do teachers and police and nurses not realise everybody is struggling? I think they're well paid, and unlike the majority of population, they get regular pay rises. By demanding more pay, they're exacerbating the spiral of hardship for other people. If they can't manage, perhaps learn to manage. Cut your cloth according to your purse. Holidays, bigger houses, new cars, kitchens aren't all necessities. Instead of heating the whole house, heat just one room you're in. Wear more clothes to keep warm. Please stop being greedy, says Texter 525. Susan says, well, because they take so many paid days off for different reasons, being sad, being sick, for simple coughing and so on. Now they send students home for what? They just had a pay rise, which is not half, which many people haven't had. I think it's ridiculous. Well, let's not turn this into a teacher bashing session. Remember, the teachers are perfectly justified in this. They're not doing anything illegal. It's in their terms and conditions. They are allowed to do this, and the teachers are represented by the union. So on the one side, you have the union. The other side, you have the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. And remember, we are short of teachers, and we do have problems recruiting public sector workers. We are short of nurses. We are short of doctors. We're short of medical professionals. I'm a bit confused. Claire Christian stepped down as chairman of the planning committee, saying her workload is too much to do. Then she said she wants to be a minister in the future. Clearly, if planning's too much for her, a minister's job must be easier, in her opinion, says Dick. Or is it just a way of bringing David Ashford back into government after the Manx Care and the Ranson case? And Claire Christian's workload issue is just an excuse. Well, I'm sure it's not. I'm sure Claire Christian wanted to... She stepped down as the chair of planning, and in came David Ashford, very capable politician. It's not a ministerial role. The chief minister said yesterday, chair of planning is not a frontline political role. Mr Ashford is not back into Comin. He's just chair of planning. But we'll watch the ministerial merry-go-round with interest as we head towards Christmas, which isn't too far away. I think the teachers' union, says Ian, are being selfish. There are significant numbers of Manx workers and households much worse off than teachers on the terms currently offered to teachers. The union rep, who we hear too often on the radio, appears to be indicative of union officials of the dark days of the 70s. Much as I like the 70s, it's time teachers and their radical-sounding union official appreciated the overall situation for everyone, says Ian. Well, people choose different careers. Teachers chose to go into teacher training, chose to get qualified, and they chose to do that. They made significant sacrifices in their further and higher education to become teachers, so they are qualified. They can do, really, everything within the terms of their contract, and this is within the terms of their contract. Bob's on now. Hi, Bob.
No, he isn't.
Bob, you're live on the air. What would you like to say? Perhaps not, Bob, but thanks for calling anyway. A message in that said, we don't have any money. We don't have any money, says Texter 353. Give us a call, 353. Just have a chat on the air, whatever you want to talk about. Also, please think about teaching assistants, says Susan. They have the lowest pay. They're paid term time, no sick pay, no holiday pay, no nothing. They work alongside teachers and still teaching assistants, never argued about anything, says Susan. Eric's on now. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Andy. I just wanted to say, I think it's time the Department of Education did something about the anti-vax people who are standing outside the school every day in Ramsey handing leaflets to children. They get moved on by the police one day and they turn up the next day. And it's not just COVID they're talking about now, it's all vaccines.
I understand they were referring to HPV vaccines, weren't they?
Yep, and it's time that they were stopped from doing it.
On what grounds? In law, they're allowed to stand on the pavement because it's the public highway. They can do that. I mean, the police will only take action if they're disturbing the peace or if they're causing an obstruction.
Well, should they be handing leaflets to children?
Well, not. I mean, I won't give you any opinion. You obviously think they shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't be, you know, because they're just scaring people and scaring kids, and you're going to end up with people not being vaccinated. I mean, they're talking about the polio vaccine, you know, and that children shouldn't take it. They shouldn't get against polio. Polio is almost eradicated, and what they're saying now is they're going to bring it back. And I know personally, because I had polio when I was only a few weeks old, you know, and I wish the vaccine had been around then. I wouldn't have got it. But it's just wrong. They've been stood on Parliament Square for the last 2 weeks, standing there with their stupid T-shirts on. You know, well, fair enough, they can protest that way, but they should not be handing leaflets out to children at a school.
How long's it been going on outside the school in Ramsey?
Well, all this week, I'm not sure about last week. I think there was last week. But they've certainly been on Parliament Square, which is where all the kids come through at dinner time. you know, and they're there every day. You know, if the law doesn't allow them to be moved, then the Department of Education should go and get a court order to stop them handing out them leaflets. I mean, it's as bad, if not worse, than when the abortion lobbyists were doing the same thing and having grotesque pictures on Parliament Square for school children to see. You know, and it should be banned. You shouldn't be allowed to do it outside of a school.
Okay, all right. Eric, we appreciate that. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, thanks.
All right, 27 minutes past 12. You may have heard of this, particularly if you're in the north of the Isle of Man. There have been anti-vax people standing outside schools in Ramsey handing out leaflets. They've been referring to the HPV vaccine, which is the vaccine, the papillomavirus. It's the vaccination which seeks to prevent cervical cancer in women, the HPV vaccine. But they've also been talking about other vaccines, and I didn't know they were protesting against the polio vaccine. But your thoughts on this, if you are in the north, I'll just mention one thing to you. Last year, you know, it's a year this Friday since the election, and we took Man in Line out in the evening to the various locations. We did a Man in Line from the Mitre in Ramsey. It was the only place in the 12 outside broadcasts we did around the whole of the Isle of Man. It was the only place where anti-vaxxers stood outside and inside the Mitre on private property handing out leaflets against vaccination. Some of them did actually come in to the broadcast, stayed for a couple of minutes and then left, and didn't mention anything throughout the broadcast. But Ramsey, perhaps, is that a hotbed for this? If you've seen this happening, if anti-vaxxers are handing leaflets out to school students on the pavement in Ramsey, it's not against the law. You can do that. People do it all the time. It could be a leaflet for a charity. It could be a leaflet for a jumble sale. It could be a leaflet for a lost dog or cat. They happen to be handing out pamphlets against vaccination. I just wonder what your thoughts are on that. If you want to give me a call, if you want to text or email or WhatsApp, by all means do. Drop a note in, and why are the NASUWTH, this is, on 475, why are the NASUWT being so difficult when the other unions have accepted the offer? Do they think they're special? Well, they're allowed to. They're a different union. They can do whatever they want. They're properly constituted. They have members who pay subscriptions. Teachers have more paid days off than anybody else years ago. They had no problem now. Is this a problem of teachers coming from across being more radical, or is it just ideas from the unions across? Everybody, says Peter on 839, everybody wants a pay rise. What's the basic weekly pay for teachers now? Bus drivers, police, fire, nurses. Just so we know who's getting what, and for a laugh, what does an MHK work out per week? MHK's salaries are perfectly available if you want to check them on the web. Loganair's overpriced. Perhaps they should stay in Scotland if they want to charge their prices. Flybe all the way, says Bill. Yeah, Bill, that's your opinion. But remember, who was the only airline that wanted to come to the Isle of Man during COVID? We shouldn't even have teachers' assistants, really, says this correspondent. It's another example of doing the job on the cheap. The teachers need to teach, and if not happy with the wage, find another job like everybody else has to, says Mark. But school students have to be taught, don't they? The academic year's just started. What is going to happen? What's going to happen with the NASUWT? And if you have a thought on that, by all means, get in touch. Lots to talk about today. We've virtually not scratched the surface. We had the Green Home Living Grant survey done, says Ray. When the surveyor was here, I mentioned to him that we get a lot of condensation on the inside of our windows. He said it's normally due to the gap between the glass. The gap in our windows is about 15 mils, which is modern standard. When we received the report, no mention of the windows, but we were entitled to the grant and could fit solar panels. So I contacted a double glazing contractor to talk about heat transfer through the latest glazing units compared to the older glazing units. There's a massive difference. I then contacted the Department for Enterprise and told them there was little point in fitting solar panels to heat the house if all the heat was going to be lost through the windows, and they basically agreed. I offered to get a report done for our windows, but was told they could only approve a grant recommended by the original report. Suffice to say, we won't be taking up the offer of the grant.
Excited about starting your new business but feel daunted by accounts, tax and VAT? Then talk to Nicola Bowker & Co. before you do anything else. From expert advice to getting a helping hand, Nicola Bowker & Co. can help and guide you. Call 861 271.
Are you ready? Then start your engines and drive into the Motor Mall end of summer clearance event. Over £2 million of new ex-demonstrator and quality used cars, vans, motorhomes and motorbikes, all with huge savings and fantastic part exchange valuations. This one-off event is only on until the 25th of September. Don't miss your chance for the deal of a lifetime in the £2 million clearance only at Motor Mall. Open 7 days a week.
Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
The Musicals in Concert returns to the Royal Hall Villa Marina Sunday the 2nd of October, presented by Stage Ed. Hear classic songs from the world's greatest musicals in a gala performance by stars from the London stage. The Musicals in Concert, Sunday, October the 2nd at the Villa Marina. Book now at villagaiety.com or on 600555. Supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
So, who lives in a house like this? The stunning living room, these amazing luxurious bedrooms. Well, thanks to Lifestyle Furniture and Manx Radio, it could be you.
To celebrate the opening of the new store, Lifestyle Furniture in the Mills, there's £500 worth of vouchers to be won this weekend. Check out the clues on the Manx Radio Facebook page to see if you can identify the celeb and be listening for the opportunity to call. Text their name and your name to 166177 and you could be in the draw to win.
It's another winning weekend with Lifestyle Furniture and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line, brought to you by Net Zero Matrix. The Isle of Man's main net zero progress website.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 26 minutes ahead of 1 o'clock this Wednesday lunchtime on the Isle of Man. Here's Steve now. Hi, Steve.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks. What's your point today?
Right, very quickly, just about mentioning about the open skies and Flybe. I fully appreciate your point, you know, regarding loyalty, but you see, just at the moment, we've taken our daughter over to Queen's College in Belfast. Fabulous city, by the way. Great, dramatically improved in terms of tourism and a great place to visit. Problem is, they've only got two flights a week. So we had to fly out on Friday and come back on the Monday instead of perhaps, you know, just one night or one day. So with only two flights a week, anybody wanting to come for business or, you know, even for tourism, really, it's not that flexible. And it would appear that Flybe are offering, you know, multiple flights per week. How sustainable it is, that's another question, and it's a very fair question you've raised. But in terms of versatility, the current, you know, EasyJet are having a bit of a free run, aren't they?
Certainly they are, and I'm just interested as well, because a couple of months ago we spoke to the lady in charge of Blackpool Airport, who said that they were talking to people, and I don't know whether you recall, but once upon a time Flybe used to run a Blackpool Isle of Man Belfast route. one time. So I just wonder whether or not that's something that they got up their sleeve, and that would be certainly advantageous. But I take your point about, you know, obviously the Belfast. I mean, Belfast is a really important connection for the Isle of Man, and it needs a good service.
I believe so. And I made the point to a lot of people when I'm there. You know, obviously they're saying that their city's great, which it is. You know, it's a great place to visit. But also, you know, I'm obviously always promoting the Isle of Man, and people say, yeah, I'd love to come over. But then, of course, the problem is the flights and how we get here. There's no ferry. And we're, you know, for a city that's literally 20 minutes away, it could have a lot better connections. And one other dimension that's always worth remembering, with the current Brexit issue, the Isle of Man is a bit of a stepping stone into Northern Ireland and, you know, between the south. So there is actually a lot of reasons for making this work.
That's a very good point, the Brexit point is. But anyway, as far as you're concerned, a flyby into Belfast is a good idea.
Yeah, one other little point is about the airport as well. I mean, I know everyone's doing their best down there, and we don't want to waste resources, but there's a hell of a lot to do to make it attractive to visitors. It is our, you know, it's the doorstep into the Isle of Man, and I do think we're letting it down.
Okay, Steve, we appreciate that. Thanks for being with us.
No problem.
Good to talk to you, and, well, here's Howard now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Now, just listen to Steve there. It brought to mind that a couple of friends of ours are wanting to come over from Scotland at the beginning of the year. And when they priced it up, it was about £250 each from Edinburgh to the Isle of Man. And so he said, no way. He said, I could go on the continent for that. He says, so he's coming over by coach and boat later on in the month. But that was an astronomical fare, to say, about £250 each to fly from Edinburgh to the Isle of Man. And, you know, he said, no way. But that's not what I've come on about. Just listen to Steve on that. But that chap that involved with the leaflets, I think, is his name Courtney somebody. I was on either YouTube or TikTok the other night, this week, and next thing, this thing popped up, and there was a chap on there, a local, and he was talking about the HPV virus. And not only that, but he went on and on and on about all the other polio and all the other injections people are getting. It sounds like he's anti-everything. Now, I don't know what medical qualifications this man has, but or what written statements he has, but he was claiming that over 1,000 people have been infected on the Isle of Man by HPV virus during injections, etc. Now, that's a very strong statement to make if you have nothing to back it up. So anybody that's listened to this chap, I would take what he has to say with a pinch of salt, because you would have to have medical knowledge. I don't have any medical knowledge, but I rely on doctors, etc. But this chap seems to be anti-everything, and he's noted for it. The name, when I saw him on the on my internet the other night, I recognised it straight away, and he's a man that's been protesting about just about everything that's going. So whatever it is you hear from him, and whatever you want to believe, you're going to believe anyway. But be very careful what he says, because he is a person that spreads malicious gossip.
Howard, how do you feel about people giving leaflets to children outside schools?
I think it's disgraceful. If the parents are with the children, that's fine. The parents can make the decision. But if you're approaching children, you are on a very dangerous ground there, because those are, as the word says, children. And they should not be approached, given out spurious leaflets, because they could be for anything. And they could, you know, anything at all. You can go down any road you want. They could be going down to the extreme paedophiles. But they should not be handing them to children. That word is explicit, children. If the parents are with them, the parents can make a decision. But the children don't. They'll invariably end up in a bin or scatter around the roads. But that seed has been sown, and that is very, very dangerous.
Okay. All right. We appreciate that. Howard, thanks for calling today.
Bye now.
All right. Logan Eyre was only here as Chief Minister then. Howard Quayle let them come in. Were they jumping on the gravy train? We didn't need them, says Bill. Well, nobody else did. No other airline decided to come in during COVID, and we absolutely needed Logan Eyre at the time. What will happen now? We have open skies, and we'll see if any new destinations appear on the boards at Ronald's Way in the future. But the news is Flybe are going to be flying the London Heathrow route and the Belfast route. And Juan's on now. Hi, Juan.
Andy's back. Where have you been, Andy?
I've been away.
You've got more holidays than a school teacher at the moment.
And I won't even tell you how much I got charged to fly from Liverpool to the Isle of Man at the last minute.
Oh, the tears are already in my eyes for you. And I believe it's nearly a year ago, I think, I came on this programme and said about cleaning the runway, the walkway to the airline.
Oh, that polytunnel. It's still filthy.
You know, I mean, that's a year ago. How much of a simple thing is that to do just for a gateway to the island, and we're still a year later and they still can't put a pressure washer on it? That's amazing, isn't it?
It's a very nice shade of green, though. If you go in the evening, the sunlight catches it and it looks lovely.
Did you put your name on it? You should have wrote your name in it. I
should have put the date on, shouldn't I?
I'm just down at the all shiny government conference at the Villa Marina. And I was here yesterday. I've learned some nice new buzzwords. Journey, vision. Loads of nice new words that we've used. Plus a couple of the old ones, the net zero and the carbon, they're still there. But we've got pathway, journey and included now. And I can't help but think, I mean, half the government's here. That's nice. That's good. But I can't help but think we've got an 80,000 population. Most of them are working. And they want to integrate with the people and ask the people their opinions. This is what this is all about. But everyone's at work. So I'm missing something on that. Starts at like 9:30 in the morning. It's got to finish at 4 today. People don't finish work till 5. So consequently, I think yesterday, there were probably 250 people in the Royal Hall. 50 of them were probably associated with government. So you've actually, you know, managed to capture 200 people who were, you know, happy enough to be there because they're not working. I kind of wondered where their thought or the train of thought was with this, and I did mention this yesterday. And again, it's down as a question and answer session. The first seminar that we had yesterday was the Green Goddess was on, Daphne, of course, and there's 15 people put their hands up to ask questions. And the first presentation was 40 minutes, 20, 25 of it was taken up with the government telling us what they're going to do. And it left about 15 minutes for questions. So out of them 15 people, 3 people got time to ask their question. So it's kind of nice and shiny and new, and it's nice to see them trying to integrate with us, but they're still kind of standing there telling us what they're going to do. And I thought the whole thing of this, it's blazoned all over it, question and answers.
What did you learn that you didn't know before? What piece of information did you come out of the Villa Marina with that you didn't have when you went in?
Nothing really, Andy. I mean, I've gathered some facts and figures, you know, and I've got a nice little prep list for future shows on here, because your show was a very well listened to show on the Isle of Man, and I'm sure a lot of government and politicians do listen to it. In fact, I know that. So it's a very good vehicle to get a message over. But I took a lot of what Theresa Cope said in about budgets and operational budgets, running budgets. What did I find out new? Nothing. Nothing that I already didn't know. But then again, you know, there is obviously people who are not so interested in what's going on and don't take the interest. They'd have probably found a lot more out of it. You know, I've spoke to quite a few people while I've been here, and I'm just about to go in now for the afternoon session. But I just put it out there and see what comes back from Alf or any of the others and say, well, what was their reasoning for doing this on a work day in the middle of the day rather than maybe picking nighttime sessions and integrating more Q&A for people to actually come out with their opinions?
Okay, all right, Jim, we appreciate that. Have a good day.
Yes, Andy.
All right, 14 minutes before one. Since launching nearly a year ago, no payments have yet been made as part of the government's Green Living Grant scheme. Out of 2,000 initial applicants, 36 have been approved and have had the offer in a letter to them. Government's now announced changes to the scheme to try and help people improve their home's efficiency, energy efficiency, and reduce their bills over the winter months as the cost of living inevitably rises. But will people see a penny piece of this money this winter? Amy Griffith's been looking into it.
The Department of Enterprise says between applications opening on the 1st of October 2021 and the 31st of July this year, 1,881 applications for an MHEA were approved. That means, in theory, all those people could have gone on to apply for the Green Living Grant itself. However, the figures reveal only 97 applications for the grant had been received by the 31st of July. Of those, 14 had been declined and only 2 had been approved with offer letters sent. No applicants had submitted a final claim against an offer letter, therefore no Green Living Grant payments had been made to that date. Although the department says the total value of grants offered as of the 16th of September is now over £95,000.
Well, if you've applied for a grant, what's your experience been? How's it gone? A lady called Claire is one person who applied for a grant and she was told no.
We have got a couple of windows that are still old, wooden framed, and they are failing. There is drafts coming through them, but unfortunately that didn't come up on the survey and I don't quite understand why. So we now have to try and find the money to put in some new windows in the hope that that may help with our gas prices. But two or three windows could cost in excess of £1,500.
Any thoughts on this matter? Text, email, call, or you can WhatsApp. On your programme yesterday, says this correspondent, you had a comment from a person who experienced delay in returning from Liverpool under the patient transfer system. I had exactly the same situation last week, departing the 13th, back at midday on the 14th. It would appear to be a regular occurrence. Now, the evening patient transfer plane goes out at 6 o'clock from Ronaldswaite's Logan Air to Liverpool and then comes back, should be in at 5 to 8, but it often gets cancelled. For your information, says this correspondent, and I won't mention the name for obvious reasons which will become apparent, I've complained to Manx Care Patient Transfer Department and raised the matter with my MHK, so I don't want to disclose any more details, which is very understandable. I don't have the objection should you wish to use this comment as a follow-up, but request you don't disclose my name. Perfectly understandable. We're always happy to have, if you like, not anonymous, but if you want to send any information or a question in your request that your name will not be used, it won't be.
The Ramsey Garden Centre sale is now on, featuring a huge range of garden items at vastly reduced prices. Don't delay. Grab a garden bargain now. There has never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week on Albert Road, Ramsey.
They've got your whole house in their hands.
When you need scaffolding,
DPM.
On time and on budget,
DPM.
We'll beat any quote.
DPM, we do it all at DPM.
DPM promise to beat any like-for-like scaffolding quote by 10%. So when you need scaffolding, call the friendly, experienced DPM scaffolding team on 612000. T's and C's apply.
We do it all at DPM.
For your new bathroom, head to Peacetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Paysetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Paysetter's, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Paysetter Harris Terrace Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of everything, where the price is twice as nice.
Savings accounts at Conestar Bank can help your money grow. At Conestar Bank, you can earn up to 3.4% in a one-year fixed-rate savings account available to individuals and business customers, with deposits from £5,000 to £1 million, plus annual or monthly interest options. To find out more about Conestar's savings accounts, visit conestarbank.co.im or get in touch on 694 694. Conestar Bank, offering you a competitive rate for your savings.
Interest rate quoted is the annual equivalent rate and can be withdrawn at any time. No early withdrawals permitted and T's and C's apply. Qualifying deposits made with Conister Bank Limited are covered by the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme as set out in the Depositors Compensation Scheme Regulations 2010.
Caroline North is back this weekend live from her historic radio ship Ross Revenge with some great music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s. Your chance to win some money to spend in the Caroline web shop, and the whole weekend is sponsored by Turton Tower Woodland Cafe. Join us this weekend live from the Ross Revenge for Radio Caroline North
on 1368 and 648 AM.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and the green future.
Thank you, Danny. Dropped a note and said, I'm impacted by the teacher strike action. I'm a parent. From my child's point of view, this is the third year in a row where his education has been affected. First of all, it was the COVID year. Then it was the COVID teacher strike action last year. And yet again, this term, teachers are going to be on strike again. This action is set to continue up to half term. Teachers will then have another week's break. But our children impacted by this action are then expected to resume back to normal in November. And I've got real concerns about the educational quality given to all children impacted over the last 3 years of disruption on the Isle of Man. Now, I haven't heard the argument from teachers. I originally, last term year, supported their fight, but all I hear is Julie Edge stating the teachers have had a pay increase matching London Fringe. Aren't they talking to resolve the issue, both government and the teachers? And I find it hard to support the teachers if all that's happening is a continuous impact to the same children and the same working parents. And if you're a working parent who has been affected by this, if a child has been sent home from school, now as to whether it's Bemahaig or Ballacameen, then you'll appreciate what Danny's saying. And Danny, we appreciate your point. Thanks for getting in touch. Lots of texts and emails in regarding the teachers. When I was at school, we had this radical idea, says Richard, of prefects who supervise breaks. Can't they fill gaps? Do prefects do anything like this nowadays? Alex said, if those teachers who've had the pay uplift and increase are on a work to rule, surely should they have the pay taken back off them? That's Alex's point. Teachers are there to teach, says Texter 423, not to give up their lunch break unpaid to supervise children during breaks. How many other people will give up their lunchtime to watch young people? Judging by the comments I'm hearing, it would seem lots of people think teachers ought to do this. So maybe why don't the parents give up their lunch break and volunteer at school? Idea, says Texter 423, if you keep the children off school, Texter 535, you can be fined because children are missing lessons. Now the schools are sending them home where few will do work set for them. Surely this is L saying it's one fool rule for some and one rule for the rest. Why don't they ask the staff that's left? Why? I suspect there are some truths that management don't want publicised, says Dave. What are they, Dave? Can you tell me? We know all we're short of health professionals. We didn't appear to be years ago, so what's gone wrong? I can't go to a dentist for over a year, says this texter. Lots more messages in. I just want, before I leave you, by the way, today, I just want to bring to your attention, if you've got some time to spare and you could be a volunteer, there's a voluntary organisation that helps provides help and assistance to people who need it, and they need drivers and telephonists. They call Care in Man, and they offer support for people, transporting people to hospital, dental, GP, physio and other medical appointments. Chairman is Peter Brackpool.
I can't give you the exact number at the moment. For the last accounts that we prepared, we did 710 journeys, but some of that accounting period was during lockdown. But prior to the pandemic, we were doing well over 1,000 journeys a year. The problem that we are having really now is our drivers, obviously most of them, or really all of them, are retired. And a lot of them, like myself, aging, and quite a few did not return to us after the pandemic because of their concern over their own health.
That's Peter Brackpool. Now, if you can help, they need drivers and telephonists. Care in Man have been going years. Their telephone number, if you want more information, is 628 500. If you can offer help as a telephonist or a driver, 628 500, or their website is careinman.org. Man has got two N's, by the way. careinman.org or telephone number 628 500. If you want to get in touch out of hours, email maninline@manxradio.com. The answer phone's on 682-631. Any thoughts on people handing out leaflets on pavements? Could be any leaflets. Where does it end? Perhaps the teachers' conditions are reviewed to make break time cover part of their teaching duties, says David T. That's it for Man in Line today. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern. Stick around, Christie's on the way. You've got Alex in the afternoon. I'll be back with Update at 5.30. Harry Kane with Spotlight at 6. Mike Reynolds with Greatest Hits at 6.30. The Opera Hour at 9 with Ernie. And Rhiann After Hours tonight at 10. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
WINT